A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, breezy, sunny, there's actual clouds. It's not a cloud cover from wildfire smoke. As expected, as forecast, the smoke moved on. In fact, this morning when I checked the air quality index, something new, a new device, a new app on your phone, the air quality index app, down to 56. And I still expected a little, 100 and something, but no, down into the 50s. And so, not a concern. And all of the carrying on oh my God, it was never in doubt. It was always in the forecast that the smoke would clear and the air would be perfect. It's going to be in the 70s. Two fabulous days of racing for the sort of reoriented Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. The two stakes from yesterday added to the Sunday card, although no red carpet ready. She is going to bypass instead. Rusty Arnold cited bad vibes. I don't think of Rusty, as sort of in harmony with the universe that way, but he cited bad vibes, redrawing and everything else. So she's going to probably head back, I would imagine, to Kentucky. The rest of the Sunday card ended up being enhanced because of all this. But today and tomorrow, outstanding in front of me when I arrived, as always, Rick Hammerly, Jimmy Ventura. Here we are. You're on. You're.
Can't hear me.
Oh, well, that, I could maybe, let me see. Can I, how about now?
Now we're on.
There you go. You were good. I didn't know your headset was turned down.
Well, I could hear you in low volume, but it is nice to see the blue clouds. I flew in Wednesday and got on the plane. Actually fell asleep and woke up, and the guy was telling us about the haze and this and that, and I first thought we maybe just circled and landed back at Ontario and got off the plane. But a little bit used to that type of stuff, but it was pretty bad Wednesday.
It was.
Going across the GWB, you couldn't see water down below. And then yesterday morning, you could see it had cleared out a little bit. It's nice to see the forecasters here, the same as in California, calling for the end of the world. Don't leave your house. Don't camp in for a couple days and things like that.
Well, you read those that number scale, when it was in the 300 up in Syracuse, they were tripping at 400 on that scale.
Well, I'd never seen, we have that stuff all the time in California. I had never seen a number that they put up, I think it was 413, was the biggest number that I've seen as far as the, there it is.
Yeah.
413. I didn't think it went that high. So it was pretty bad, and now we're into 100. When the Yankees played their doubleheader yesterday,
that was the indication
that the flag is up.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. And listen, anybody listening to the show yesterday or heard the replay, you know where my feelings were yesterday, that we could have easily have run. And I think everybody acknowledged that, but the prudent thing to do on all fronts, and that's the modus operandi right now industry-wide. So it was the right thing to do under the circumstances. Not a lot was lost, and the stakes get rebooted to Sunday, so that's fine.
It was fine. When they made the call in the morning, you didn't know if the wind was going to shift left or right. So being on a Thursday, like you said, 100% did the right call, and now we move on.
Yeah. Let me get Jimmy to say good morning. Jimmy Ventura.
Morning. How are you doing with the the air quality and everything's blue.
Didn't bother me. I had a little, I guess it was with it yesterday. I guess Wednesday afternoon, I noticed a little bit of raspiness and so forth, and a little bit yesterday, and then by about mid-afternoon, it had you know, cleared out. A couple of coughs, and that was that.
Now we get to focus on some wagering and selections for a really good, I mean, the next, today and tomorrow, the great card, good gambling card. So from that perspective, everything's great.
Can we push one restaurant, though? We got to push a restaurant that we went to last night.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, last night we went to
Sandro's
on 86th Street. It was old school Italian, but it's like a northern Italian more than the red sauce place.
Which I like.
And they just moved from a site on York Avenue to 86th between 1st and 2nd. And just, I don't own it. I just am a fan. But Hammer and I went there last night so he can get his obligatory spaghetti and meatballs. And he did.
I got rigatoni, though. Rigatoni and meatballs.
That's still some form of pasta.
Well, I got him. I think I advanced some of his pasta sophistication levels when we went to your place in Hollywood.
And I
Spartino.
We went to Spartina.
Yep.
And I had to call you up and ask you what you had.
The Garganelli.
Yeah. And I went back and repeated and asked for it, and they made me special because it wasn't. It wasn't offered that day, and so...
Stephen Colt is great, too.
It's fantastic.
And I guarantee you, Jimmy's mother made Garganelli the real way around a pencil, and then with the fork, and then seal it with the fork.
My grandfather did it with rolling of a thumb versus the pencil move, and then he would have a twist. And when I was a little kid, I would get to do that every once in a while, which... You know, put me over the top. I was like, I'm making pasta with Grandpa.
Well, when I mentioned to Jimmy, he goes, it has little ridges there to hold the sauce on. I'm like, okay, that's it. Perfect.
That actually is one of the things that has advanced, when I was a kid. I mean, there were three or four. There was spaghetti, linguine, mustacholi. That was what we had in New England. And even with Prince... Spaghetti Day. The advancing of
and it's evolved. And then when you're buying in store bought with the cast bronze, which changes the texture of it, which holds onto the sauce a little bit more.
So, at my house, growing up in the San Fernando Valley, we had Kraft macaroni and cheese with the cheese in the packet, and spaghetti from a box. But of course, the Kraft with the green thing,
the green canister.
No Romano. That was it. My mom was having spaghetti now. Okay, great. I mean, and then when I got introduced to like real spaghetti, I was. And no matter what they say, I try to tell people the food is better on the East Coast. And then what do you mean? It's just better. There's better and there's more of it. I don't know how to explain it. And.
They had a head start here on the East Coast. That was the key.
Maybe that's it. Much more feeling in the food. How's that?
We got to get a hello.
Don't waste the paper. I can get on.
Hey, Aaron.
You going to say hello?
Sure. Right now?
Yeah, right now. Where are you headed?
Are you online? Are you online?
No, we're sitting here with the headsets.
I was going to watch a horse trip.
You can go. I just say hello. No. Give everybody, you know me. You've got carte blanche, as we say.
I'll take that. You might be the only person that gives me carte blanche. I see Hammer, and you got Jimmy Ventura here. It's good stuff.
Must be the Belmont.
It must be the Belmont, right. Exactly.
Italians and Jews.
We've shared a lot of fun days out here on Belmont Day.
We have, absolutely. I broke out the Secretariat hat.
It's been a good weekend for Eclipse over the years, and for some reason, you guys are always stationed right around our crew.
Right? Seems like I've seen you in and out of the winner's circle, like on the Breeders' Cup days, on these big days. So it's a good combo, right?
Nobody's got better pictures. In victory or defeat, than I do of you.
Well, I actually have one very bitter, sweet memory with these guys. Actually, the day Bobby Flay beat us, I think it was 7 years ago. with Creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Destin. Beat Destin on the yeah. wire. That's the picture I think you're referring to. Well, with Randy Goulart and Rand, I.
Yeah, and
in
Steve,
the tunnel here.
Steve Marshall? Not Steve Marshall.
Steve Davison.
Steve Davison,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you guys had a brave face, and that's how I captioned it.
That was one of the nastiest beats of all time. I really didn't think there was any chance in the world the last 100 yards that we were getting beat, and we did. And I was devastated, and I thought to myself, I don't know if I'll ever get close to winning the Belmont Stakes again.
But?
And a year later, we came back and won it with Tapper, thank goodness. And last year, I thought we really had a winning shot with the Philly Nest, too. And she ran a dynamite race.
She
so
sure
it's been a great, great weekend for us and a great day.
I've got that picture of you upstairs, you know, next to the Tapper on the Belmont photo wall.
If you mentioned that Creator, you thought you couldn't lose. Well, we knew over there that Creator was going to win when he started making his move there, and we got a mile route, and then coming down the stretch, we all like, and all of a sudden we looked at each other. He won, right? I mean, we didn't make fools of ourselves, did we?
It was
up
close.
And down.
But
we knew he won.
It was ridiculous.
My next was, he was like, did we win? Did we win? And when they put the photo up, Bobby actually, when they
put the photo up, Bobby actually was standing on a chair, and he fell into me because he was like, oh, we just won the Belmont.
I've got a TV still of that. You mentioned Aaron Wellman stopping by. He's got a horse to go watch gallop. What is Nest's status? Because I've actually got a couple of inquiries from people.
Yeah, Nest is here. I'm actually going to go watch her train over on the training track in about 15 minutes. She's going to breeze again tomorrow. She's got a couple half miles.
Nice.
We were hoping to make the FIPS this weekend. We're just a little bit behind. But hopefully within the next month, you'll see her on the overnight.
I don't think you needed necessarily to run into Clairiere, Secret Oak, Played Hard, search results, and pass the champagne off the layoff.
No, that wouldn't have been ideal for sure. We just want to get the filly back.
Yeah.
And look, the schedule's there, you know, hopefully working our way back from Santa Anita in early November.
Outstanding. What else is coming up for the summer, Eclipse Partners?
You know, we got a couple in today. I think we're live with the Grey Wizard in the 2-mile Belmont Gold Cup. We're taking a big shot in the Acorn with Frosty O'Toole, but if there's a pace meltdown, no pun intended, Frosty might come and grab a slice. And, you know, that's a race that was good to us. It kind of put us on the map really early here in New York when Carolina won it back in 2015. That was huge.
Wow.
The day that American Pharoah won the Triple
yep.
Crown. So that was a magical day for us. And then tomorrow we're bringing a horse in from California for the Jiper named Air Force Red.
Who's with Leo Powell.
Out here somewhere, yeah. Leo Powell's on him, getting a tour of Big Sandy for the first time. So that's a nasty race, man. I mean, you talk about a good grade one. You got Caravelle, you got Bill Mott's Colt. Casa Creed. It's just unbelievable racing all weekend.
Outstanding. The summer, Del Mar and Saratoga?
Back and forth. Hopefully I'm a blessed man, you know. Making the circuit between Del Mar and Saratoga all summer is I'm a lucky guy. So, yeah, we've got a ton of babies. I'm going to actually head up to Saratoga tomorrow after the races. Sunday after the races. We got like 15 babies with Todd up there right now.
Wow.
Probably our strongest crop ever, touch wood. So we're excited. We're going to hopefully be locked and loaded for the spa. And we got a bunch at Del Mar as well. So coast to coast, hopefully the baby blue and black will be well represented.
EclipseTB.com.
Partners.
Partners.com.
It's all about the partners. You can't forget those partners.
We don't forget the partners.
This is actually Air Force Red.
There we go.
Right,
a little high-headed with big blades.
He's hard to miss.
Absolutely. Look at him. Nice.
I like him tomorrow.
He's a really neat horse. He's a good horse. He's
got good cheat numbers.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's fast, and this three quarters round one turn might hit him between the eyes. He's gonna have to run the race of his life, but he's here with a purpose, so we like him.
Aaron
has another vote for the you don't have to pick. Do them both, right? Del Mar and Saratoga.
Exactly.
I'm in that boat.
Coast to coast, baby.
You can like both of them. You don't have to choose.
The spot of the surf.
Right?
I love it. I love it.
Or the other way around.
Thanks, fellas.
Aaron,
I appreciate it. Good luck all weekend.
Thank you.
I'm sure Hammer and Ventura will all be firing away at the windows all weekend long. So.
You can count on that.
Not just firing, but hopefully cashing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always firing.
Cashing is the key part of it.
Aaron Wellman, folks.
Take care, man.
Always great. The little general stopping by.
Yeah.
You know what? He's done a hell of a job.
Yes, he has.
Tip my cap.
Been 10, you know, 12 years, we're going to ask him about that, and you know, all of a sudden, you know,
partnerships getting put together, and there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are very good, but I'm not a member of it. I've never been a member of a big partnership, but Aaron does a great job.
Agreed. I reach out to him on a regular basis, industry issues, and then we always talk about what's going on at the stable. Let's talk. I don't want to spend too much time on the Friday card. I predominantly want to get Saturday in, so let's get a couple of quick opinions about today. If there's anything that you've got that you feel strongly about before we dig into Saturday's card.
You know, I spent most of the last night on Saturday.
Okay.
Just to go over, we got to make a selection or two here. Either way, is Warlike Goddess unbeatable in there?
She's not unbeatable.
She's tough. She's going to be all right. You got the one horse Didia that's on a streak here for Iggy Correas, and a horse on the outside from Appleby. I give it a little shot too.
Big shot,
right?
Absolutely.
With the moonlight.
Absolutely with the moonlight. And actually, I also I ended up adding Flirting Bridge at a price. I think is very employable in there, trying to boost any exotic tickets you're putting together.
Yeah, I like the outside horse a little bit there with the moonlight. 9-2 Appleby, as you guys said, but I think I focus same as Hammer, mostly on tomorrow's card.
All right. Wow. All right.
I mean, I do think the Eggcorn.
Yeah, I was about that. That's the one race I wanted to specifically ask about.
I think Pretty Mischievous on these numbers that I have is going to bounce. You know, it depends on how far the horse goes back and bounces to. I think Money's Gold, people are going to give a pass. Throw out that last one. They're going to bet that horse pretty good. But I like a little bit of a long shot, the Judmont horse all the way on the outside at seed.
Hmm.
I mean, really taking a shot there. And a horse that's pretty damn consistent is Dorth Vader.
She's been terrific.
She stretched out when she wasn't supposed to, and now she's in a new barn. I think Bo Yates does a great job, but Weaver does a good job too. So those would be Dorth Vader and the outside horse as my bomber.
Inside, outside.
Yep.
Yeah, I quietly spent a lot of time on this race and ended up right back to where we came to in the Kentucky. Pretty Mischievous. I'm not giving up on her. I think she's reached that level. I think she can stay at that level. And so I'm not afraid to come back with her. And I do have the 8 and the 2 underneath. But I think she's the real deal.
She's got the same energy level out here all week that she had in Kentucky. And not only that, I disagree about her reacting.
Bouncing.
She's got a classic 3-year-old pairing setup, up and down. Pair up. She'll run the same.
Yeah, it's
again.
Funny because I had a hard time.
Dave Brennick just grab and go, as they say. It's like a Wawa. He just literally came.
Where do we go
today? A&S. And there's a surprise in there. There's a surprise in there. It from Montreal across the street, Mimo, our man Mimo, little apple crumb cake turnover. And here's Pat McKenna. There's Pat McKenna. Were you just going to walk on by?
Yeah.
Pat, one quick question. This is administrative. Is this all I need for today and tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Is that this year's?
Huh?
Is that this year's?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well said.
Thank you. Pat McKenna, everybody.
And it's mischievous, not mischievous.
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 Yeah, no, I think she's, I expect her to come right back and run well.
I'm usually a Thoragraph guy, and I used Rags for the Triple Crown series. Don't ask me why. I'm doing a little bit of a test because I couldn't get them. I couldn't get the Thoragraph early enough for me to plot my...
Do your work? Interesting.
Do my work.
All right.
So that's why I said the bounce theory.
All right. I'm confident that she runs... I'm going to use a couple in there. I'm not a seeding the race.
Right.
And by the way, the other, you know, the Chad Brown that could be anything is randomized.
Yep.
We talked about that yesterday with Andy. And frankly, if you think randomized is eligible, you know, as a lightly raced type to, you know, to jump up in here, well then, Good Girl Bad Habits is every bit as you know, quote unquote fast. And in the same mode as randomized. So I'm using her more as a backup. But Darth Vader, pretty mischievous and randomized for me.
And we're going to minus 16.
Yep, which is a new configuration for the race
and a new distance for Money's Gold too.
I think she's to me
over the top. And
no, it's not a question over the top. I just there's other pace pressure in here, and I think it's. I don't want her as a favorite.
Right.
I'm sorry. And I don't think... Does she go favorite?
I don't know. She's been pounded every time.
I think she does go favorite.
All right. All right.
I don't... and then in the next race, I just have to say this. In the 53rd start, I'm actually going to like and bet Channel Maker. Never bet on the horse. In the two-mile race.
That's interesting. Siskiyou to me is...
Is yeah,
way over
next door.
Way
I agree.
Over,
I agree.
Yeah.
But maybe gets out there and does his deal. I up and down, up and down, up and down. But he's the one I'm going to match with
all right.
Siskiyou.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. That's the first mention really of what is he line wise, Channel? 8-1. 8-1.
I think he'll drift up.
There's been I think a horse I included that I didn't expect to that I used as a backup on some backup tickets. I got the Plaiser up at Derby Trail and at the races, steepick.com. Strong Tide, the Mike Lauer, Mike and Penny Lauer. Strong Tide has got some things to like, and we've already talked all week about Arch Kingsley and Imperator, a very savvy player on Derby Trail. He was talking about Cross Border this morning and respecting Maker in here, who's been murderous on these elongated. He's 4-for-5 on the year in graded stake.
Having a great year. Yeah. Having a great year.
So
having a great decade.
The last race, the Intercontinental,
yep,
on today, I really like Amy C.
I've brought her up repeatedly, and I keep getting shouted down. I used her as a B.
I have her on top. I've got 6-7-5.
Right?
She seems to be faster. I don't know. I like the style. Joelle fits.
Well, and shortening up from the 6.5 down the hill.
I don't. Is that a down the hill or is that on the straight?
What do you mean? Her 6.5 doesn't matter. Her six and a half. Her 6.5. Cutting back to 6 here, it, to me is a plus.
I agree.
I'm using her, but I thought I thought I couldn't get much past Bubble Rock. Bubble Rock is way the horse to beat, and in fact, Andy mentioned Sarah Harper. That race, in fact, the race that they're all exiting, you could pretty much come back and have a reprise of that race.
Well, that's kind of the thought was if. If Amy C is better than one of them, he's better than most of them, and can beat them all. You know,
Unbridled Sydney, yeah, Caravel, Baystorm, and Sarah Harper.
In the
that was in the Unbridled Sydney,
yep.
and they all come back here.
They come out of the license, the license fee, the 1, 2, 3, 4. Like I said, if they're all together and Amy C is better than that group, then see you later.
That's fair. That's fair. Let's turn to Saturday. Rick Hammerly and Jimmy Ventura, a tradition like no other.
Yeah, when you called me for the Derby And I was actually there. This is the first year that I'm doing the Triple Crown, so I was actually
I've never done all three
in the same year. So I did that, and when you called, I was in the hallway, I was trying to get silent, and I kind of lost out there, but I think I was telling you about Farbridge as the horse that I needed and loved and singled, and I got beat a Zop with Hammer that day with the DJ horse that won the turf race.
The 14 horse.
He's pointing for the Belmont Derby. It's funny you bring up Farbridge, because last night after Gary and Josephine and I and Josephine's dad, we went to Ben's just for dinner. But then we went to Hildebrandt's. And last summer, people will recall, we had Randy Sarf visit. Randy and his father bought Hildebrandt's, saving it, you know, from extinction. The wonderful sweet shop ice cream parlor. It's just absolutely incredible in Williston Park. And we went last night, as it happens. And I sent Randy a note. I say we're at the joint, and we went back and forth. And LSU Stables is the family. And he said, Belmont Derby. And Jose Ortiz apparently is picking up the mount.
Okay. Well, let's see if we could put some winners on today's card versus the Derby. Where do you want to go start?
Well, we'll work backwards from Belmont. I think that's the right way to go.
Okey-doke. Doctor, you have a Belmont selection?
I do. You know, we spent hours on it last night, going up and down, in and out, and you know, I ended up with 8-4. 8-4 meaning Angel of Empire and National Treasure, in some order. I mean, I do like the continuation of National Treasure doing what he did last 3 weeks ago in the Preakness. I think if he's good enough, he's out there. He showed a little guts last time in the stretch. And maybe you can relax even a little bit more here going this distance. I like the way Angel of Empire seems to fire every time. You know, you have to ask the distance on all these horses. I think Brad's going to have this horse ready to go. You know, Forte Bay, you know, I obviously he's a super horse. The layoff does bother me. Everybody's telling me he's going to be fine. You know, Todd knows exactly what he's doing, and the horse didn't really miss anything. He skipped a beat when he couldn't work in those two-week period, but the 2 months off going a mile and a half just bothers me enough to say, you know, he's going to run a race, but I like the other two better.
I agree. I feel the same way.
I think Angel of Empire, again, is, I agree with Rick, has the running style and think he'll get the distance. Runs good numbers. You know, the Tappet theory, you have the two Tappets on the fence. 1-2, Tappet Trice is, you know, more of the name brand that will probably take a lot of action with Todd. But I'm going to go with Angel of Empire and then the 3, Arcangelo. Think, you know, it's kind of a crazy break your maiden, come back in the Peter Pan and win. He moved so much forward on the, you know, on the sheets in that maiden race, and he didn't react as much as he could have. I don't know what Thorograph says on it, but I can't believe that I'm saying a maiden to a Peter Pan, but I give this horse a legitimate shot.
From a pedigree standpoint, he's the horse that, you know, that was absolutely bred for this trip.
Yep. So, you know, National Treasure is going to go out probably to the front. Maybe the Cox on the fence might go out
absolutely
there too.
Absolutely, he's going to be part of the pace.
Right?
Yep.
So it should set up a little bit for somebody coming off the pace. But I think they'll overbet Todd, and rightfully so, I guess. But I'll try to get them with Angel of Empire and Arcangelo.
Quick note, our friend Kevin McIntyre just sent me a DM that With the Moonlight has come out of the New York.
Huh.
So that feels like a vet scratch, but a pre-race exam scratch, but
Today, right?
That's right now, yeah. The eighth, take out the eight from the eighth race, and that is a major, major scratch. I mean, yikes. All right. Thanks, Kev. I appreciate that. That was, and I, let's see, what time, we start at 12:50 today, so it's a regular, schedule, so we probably won't see, unless Andy got early, early scratches. It's a little early yet for the wider scratch announcements.
They post them at least by 10.
And Andy gets them out. The rest of the, typically they don't see it. No, not yet. All right. So we'll get the rest of those as they come in.
The Manhattan?
Yeah.
This horse on just numbers is not fast enough. However, I think strong quality is going to run a really big race. The horse, I believe, will be the speed of the race. I think he'll get sit a trip. And needs to improve a little bit. The pedigree says the distance should be no problem, being by Quality Road. And I think that that horse has a really good shot to hit the board, let alone upset the whole thing. And the horse to beat, it obviously, is up to the mark.
Yeah.
And Rock Emperor, I'll put underneath in the gimmicks a little bit, too, as well as the Ottoman. But I'm going to try to key around strong quality.
It's the other Appleby for me.
Yeah.
Warren Point,
okay,
to me is the more interesting of the two.
My notes say, need help, have no idea.
I'm for the Manhattan?
This race, every year.
This is a hammer all.
It is. There's no doubt.
It's a hammer all.
So last year, Rock Emperor wins, right? Blew everything up for me. I think the year before, Grand Motion won with the horse that blew it up. So this race has been my problem every year. So I'm you know, that up to the mark that ran last time, I didn't like the horse at all. We were talking about it last night. I remember looking on the board. We were talking. It was 2-1. He started 2-1. He never got off 2-1. And then he ran through the wind, and he ran great. I don't know if he wants the extra distance. I'm not fine. I don't like the price on him. The Ottoman Fleet, he looks like maybe the one, if I had to pick one. You know, he's 5-2. I'm not thrilled with that. But, you know, Red Knight, when you think he's going to take a week off, he comes back and wins again. So, yeah, this has got all the markings.
So it's the all button for Hammer.
Yep.
Yeah. Who did you like there, Steve?
I'm seated to up to the mark, but Warren Point is a player for me. I mean, those are my two principles when I put together. You know, I was looking at some of the 2-day stuff. I'm going to try to get away with just Warren Point and up to the mark in the 20-cent 2-day pick six.
Gotcha. Okay. The Metropolitan, I think, is, you know, I think it's a single, Cody. There's some other horses that are fast, and this is a tough race. Repo Rocks runs ridiculously fast times, but just doesn't sit well with me. So I'm just going to try to buy a free square here in a pick five and use Cody and see if I could use a lot more horses in other spots.
I'm 1-2-3. I mean, go up and down trying to beat that horse. I don't know. He's never broken. This is the one that's never broken from the rail.
He's never broken from the rails, what you said the other day.
So we're looking at that. And then memories of, you know, Flightline last year, who got off to an awkward start and had to readjust, and obviously was good enough to do that. So if you're looking for something, he's never done that before. But he's, I don't know if it's worth trying to beat him. Slow Down Andy, which we liked in the Breeders' Cup, and he ran a good third. Has come back well. We saw Leandro here for Doug. I guess that horse going to sneak into something. And Dr. Chevelle ran too good. Mark does not a big shipper. Mark Glatt we're talking about. And the horse is ready to roll. And they're originally talking about going in the True North, I think. And they said, you know what? Let's go for the big time.
Dr. Chevelle, I'm all over. Nicole Russo making her trip to New York. And are you floating around?
Yeah.
Come back. Come back when you, yeah? All right, I'm going to send you a text.
Yeah.
Rick Hammerly.
I am so happy to meet you. Listen, I always tell Steve, she is great.
She's.
I love your information, and I don't know, it's great. I'm happy to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
She is the under-the-radar MVP, an overnight success, 15 years in the making or more. She's been, it's unbelievable. And they always, these pedigree types, and sales coverage types, they're always sneaky when it comes to race work. And she's busted out. She's busted right out. Let Marty McGee and Jay Pridman make room for the young blood.
I miss them.
I think I met her down in Ocala.
She's the greatest.
She is
unbelievable.
I tell you.
She knows, she's a crazy horse girl type, but I mean, she
we've never met physical. Those before.
She can do the physical stuff. She's a resource. She's great with young horses too, with babies. There's Scott Palmer, Dr. Palmer making his way trackside. I'm sorry, I wanted to get Nicole in here.
Good. The Jiper, race 9.
So much fun.
I'll keep you rolling. Keep you somewhere between the lines, Steve. Is
not easy.
Italian cookies might divert your attention every once in a while.
If I had a cup of coffee, the box would be half empty by now.
This is a great race, actually, I think, the Jiper. Casa Creed's won this race last two times. Consistent. I think it's, will be tough. Caravelle's going to take a lot of money as she's been on a tear. But I think I'll go with Casa Creed, Air Force Red, Eclipse's Horse, and Caravelle would be my top three.
We spent a lot of time in this race, a lot of speed in here.
Yeah, Caravelle's
and
up against it.
She's been up against it many times, but, who's to go against Lee, right? I tell you what, he's the honest-to-God closer in here.
Yeah.
And the 6 furlongs seems to hit him. I hate to, jump on the same horse we're handicapping last night as we come up with a lot. I got 11-12-3 as well over the 9-10. So I'd like to see Casa Creed do, pull off the hat trick here, and I think he's primed to do it.
I won't disagree. I thought Big Invasion was the next logical type in here, and I ended up actually finding room for Nothing Better.
Yeah, the 9 and the 10.
The Duarte, who scares me all the time.
And he's 10 or 12 to 1 in the program as well, and worth every bit of it.
Nothing Better is 8 to 1. Big Invasion is 6 to 1.
I thought I had higher odds. But anyway, they're going to drift up a little bit. But this might be the best race on the program.
A terrific race.
Right?
There's a couple really ones, too.
And we just talked to Aaron as Air Force Red went by. I mean, that's a nice colt coming in from California. And check the price on him, Air Force Red, with Johnny V aboard. He's performed real good.
12 to 1. And I use them. I use them in the multi.
And what about Woody Belmont Stakes Day and Woody Stevens kind of go hand to hand, hand in hand? And now you have the Woody Stevens Always Run on this day. And what a terrific race that is!
This is the problem with a race like this, a 13 horse field. And you think to yourself, well, it's got to be chaotic. Well, then you end up with one of the very logical types. Honestly, isn't this potentially as simple as the two Bafferts?
I mean, is
could
it,
be.
I think that Arabian Lion turning back ran a hell of a race. I see him as obviously one of the logicals. And I might take the horse on the fence, New York Thunder. Get out there, 3 for 3. I have this horse fast enough. Maybe not as... I think General Jim might bounce. He ran too big of a race last time. But take Arabian Lion. Whoa. Arabian Lion and New York Thunder will be my Mine too.
I like a horse in here. Goofball horse. We were doing this last night, and we were looking for that horse. I like Victory Formation a little bit.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Right?
That's the we were not drinking last night when we handicapped, by the way.
No, this is one of these post-type, Triple Crown season type horses, now maybe getting back to what he wants to do.
I got someone looking like Tina Turner over here that's throwing me off. Victory Formation, I don't know. I think the horse has always been well-meant. Brad is good. I like when he gets Drew on. That's like the team. They run well together. I think he's coming up to this race. I'm looking for a little bit of a, some of these other horses aren't proven. He's proven a little bit more than the Harrodsburgs and the federal judges of the world that are going to take some money. I think he's sitting in a nice spot. He doesn't need the lead. He's going to be close. I like him to be in the money. I had 11-3-8-1 when it all came down to it. But the two Baffert's could be there.
The horse to me that is the interesting outsider, literally and figuratively, Jim Chapman with Drew's Gold. I said yesterday, is this not the least known undefeated horse in the country? He's 4-for-4, and no one knows who this horse is. Nobody.
No. I mean, he went 9-1 the other day, and he's fast.
And the open air outside box, where the air is fresh and clear, it makes perfect sense. I'm using him. He's my third horse.
Oh, look, he's on the rags. He's one of the faster horses in the race. That last number was one of the fastest in the race.
Well, and for those that keep tabs on things locally, it would be an interesting outcome, given some of the events of the last few weeks that involved Jim Chapman and headlines and
yep.
so forth. So that's one of those. Factors.
Six horse field and this race
five
is
horse
pretty,
field and
yeah.
and one.
But pretty solid.
One hopeful.
Yeah, but pretty solid group of
it's terrific.
Fillies
terrific.
Here. I don't know. I bet search results all the time, and she always seems to slap me in the head somewhere. So I'm going to go with Secret Oath. It's a horse's first time running at Belmont, which...
Well, she's basically running across the entire country, so eventually she had to get here.
I agree. I mean, look, I thought she was on the other side of midnight last year.
For the last seven starts?
Yeah. And she just runs her eyeballs out.
It's unbelievable.
And I think that big filly with these big sweeping turns here, she's going to like it.
It's interesting. You know what? That's you're the first person to make that correlation. That's a good point.
So that's why I'll give her a shot.
That's a good point.
So, since 1980, there's six trainers that have won this race three times. One of those guys is in here looking for number four, and that would be Mr. Asmussen. Mm-hmm. So, just looking up goofy stuff, we got Belmont, Steve Asmussen, Bobby Frankel, Kieran McLaughlin, Todd, mm-hmm. and Shug. Won it three times.
How about that?
Since 1980.
Since 1980?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, actually.
Yeah. Now, this is just me looking it up.
It's like 30 plus percent.
That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, it is.
But, I don't know. And we handicap separately. When you have to zero in on one, I think Secret Oak's sitting on a big one. I'm a huge Clairiere fan. I love Clairiere. I've had her, been close to her. Steve, watching her, run at Oaklawn and just being around. So, but Wayne is in watch, but more so watching Secret Oath developed at Oaklawn a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It was a treat, and to see her win the Kentucky Oaks that year, I think she kind of got caught last time. And anyway, I think she's the one to be. I think I don't know. Is this a race you just go with one and move on, or do you hit the all button here just to make sure you're covered?
Well,
it's a pick six, right? It kicks off the pick six, so. It's also a second leg of a pick four. There's a lot of different ways.
you could go with it. So
I think you might be able to spread here, Doc.
I think you, you know, I mean, I don't like the first page, so if I was spreading, I would take the 4, 5, and the 6.
You do like?
Search results, I think, makes a lot of sense here, second off the layoff. And in fact, yep. Andy made that case yesterday, too. It, you know, feels like, you know, you put that fiasco in the Breeders' Cup in the rearview mirror, and, you know, you look at her previous lead ups and you know, second off the layoff, I got a feeling this is her big opportunity. So and the price is right. I mean, she's going to be a $10-11 horse.
Bit of that.
So
yeah, she'll be 4 or 5.
From that standpoint, I thought, you know what, isn't this the right time for her? I also like the fact that Phil Bauer shows up here. You know, he parlays the grade one at Churchill, and isn't, you know, sometimes you take that, you got it in the back pocket. The fact that he shows up here and gets Johnny, there's some things to like about her, and she's the right price.
Yep.
So I don't think you've got to eat 2-1 and 6-5 on the favorites.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. And, you know, and George, it's funny, Weaver is going to be completely ignored here past the champagne. And of the five serious candidates, she's the fifth on that list. But George is hitting on all cylinders. The fog is lifted.
Yep.
On the whole situation there. Cindy's doing better, and
yep.
you can tell that the mood has lifted in that barn. People may say, "Oh, how's that correlate?" It correlates. Believe me.
Sure, it does.
And Cindy's such a wonderful person on top of it, so you have to be cheering for George in his barn. I think the horse might bounce off that big effort last time, but we'll see. The Brooklyn is the sixth, and I like Todd there with Braid Future stretching out. Curlin going a little further, has good numbers. I really like this horse.
As I said to Todd, whenever this horse showed up, and I said, they must have liked what they saw, because you don't name a horse Bright Future on the farm if there wasn't something that gave you a good feeling about, you know, where it was headed.
Yep. Doctor, you have a...
This is another tough one.
Yeah, it's a strange race.
It's a strange race. I have Warrant in there, of course. This Calibrate intrigues me, and I'm not leaving out the upset special, Uriah St. Louis.
Very out. If he runs his A race, he absolutely wins. Can win,
right?
For Warrant, absolutely.
And so, I just have him down at the upset special. I like the fact that he's a recent winner. He's not looking for his first win in his last 25 starts. He won 3 races ago, and he has run multiple times at this distance, or close to this distance.
And it looks like he's circling back to a good race.
He does. So, you know, as goofy as it sounds,
it's not goofy at all.
Use him.
Absolutely, and I don't know if he'll be 20-1, but he'll be double digits, obviously.
So this is a tricky race. Then the horse that Jimmy picked, the Bright Future, you know, the fifth start, going a mile and a half against these, longest race was a mile, maybe. And
then, Curling.
I know. Let him run, baby.
Turn to the poker, and I heard a couple of people yesterday and Wednesday, you know, say, "Oh, you know, it's a free square." I'm a big Shapier fan, and it's a horse that our listeners got tipped off to by Arno Delacour, before he ever started to really, you know, make an impact in North America. I mean, does he have to win?
No. Let's see if he can come back, you know, and do it again.
I just think he's much faster than these. And if anybody beats him, maybe Todd with Emmanuel. I don't know.
Emmanuel makes sense. There's no doubt. I've been a fan of Fio de Arellano for Cassie. I thought that 4-1 was a little shorter than I would have liked. I mean, I have a hard time believing that Fio de Arellano goes off at a shorter price than Emmanuel, right?
Yeah, I would say that. That would be a shocker.
What about Chad's pair? They haven't had much. You know, McKinnon's still fairly new in the barn. The Eric Johnson, American Faro Colt, ran well enough in the Hill Prince, and Emirati, who, if you want to talk number power, one of the things that's nice about Emirati is that he's proven himself to be tractable. He can adjust to paces. If he needs to be up close, he can. If they go running early on him, away from him, he can come late. So I thought Emirati at 6-1 was.
I agree with that one.
Right?
I like him more.
What's wrong
than
with him?
Well, we might as well round out the field, because I have a little mini check by. This is the type of race that Shug wins quietly.
You're not wrong about that, actually.
He in and out of stakes, you know, has done great, but that last race looked like you set him up just right. Ended up watching the replay there. He looked really good going in, and he's going to be a decent price.
That's for sure.
Right? Yeah. Just kind of sneaky in there. You're going to
dreams of tomorrow.
Dreams of tomorrow. Just being in there. I tried to get Anaconda up there. Hasn't run against some of the better ones. So not so much. But the Dreams of Tomorrow is the sneaky one that's sitting back there. He's one of those ones, if he wins, you're like, darn.
So it sounds like an all button, right?
I'm telling you. It's wonderful. These races are...
From an even money shot.
The problem with hitting the punching all there is that then Chez Pierre wins by the length of the stretch.
Well, I'm
going to single there, to be honest with you.
The problem with the all button is you got to single... You know, you have to match every all button with a single, just about...
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
You can't do them all, but you gotta pick the right race. But we'll see. These are
as we keep unwinding,
races.
And then I just now I'm flipped back again to the third race, which is the True North. Another great. I mean, this is a heck of a little race.
Seems
here.
Like everybody's trying to beat Elite Power in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess everybody's going to try to beat him with Strobe. Hard to knock that horse, but I mean, man, this horse of Billy's has been just ripping wins off, knows how to ship a horse to Saudi Arabia or wherever else and come back and win. He's the obvious 4-5 favorite.
He has won six straight.
It's pretty kind of hot.
From the maiden race. As soon as he broke his maiden, that's all he's done is win.
And you're not going to get like a price on Strobe either. I mean, if one's 4-5, you're going to, the 3-5, you get 2-1 on the other horse? 5-2? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not like Elite Power is going to have to weave through a large field either to get to where he wants to be. That's the part that bothers me. If I'm going to go for an upset, it's going to be Anarchist for me, just with the speed. You know, let's just hit it and go and see what we can do. I mean, he's run the Woodbine. He ran 8-4. He's run fast. He's got he was second in a race. It was running 8-3 out there. I like those horses like this that can break the nine number somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to try, but I think this is. I think between this one and Cody, I think I like this one better as far as a singleton.
All right. Any other clever ideas?
Nothing clever. Just going to head back to the city and relax, do some gaming from there, and then shoot out here for the big day tomorrow.
Outstanding. All right. Well, Hammer, let me slip in one note, and I thought I had it here, and now I'm realizing I hope I didn't leave him on the printer, but the honeymoon and the Santa Margarita back home at Santa Anita.
They're going to be great races, and I'll be watching them from afar. I didn't have a chance. I was in the air when they came down and didn't print. So the next to last weekend at Santa Anita, next weekend is closing weekend, and you know, I'll tell you what, for kind of being coming back and jumping in the mid-January, this has been a fast 5 months getting to where we are here mid-June. You know, for me out there, I've been doing more traveling than normal, you know, trying to kind of catch what's going on here and there, and you know, out here promoting California. We got the Breeders' Cup out there this year, so we'll try and get some guys to come out early for that for the fall meet and stick around. But yeah, so next weekend, well, we'll talk next Friday, but is closing weekend, and they pack it up and go to Los Alamitos for a little bit, and then Del Mar opens on the 21st. So welcome break.
And you know, I'm taking a page out of Hammer's book. Usually he's the one traveling all the time and going to all these shows. And he called me up and he's like, I have these tickets to go see Dead & Company at the Gorge in George, Washington. It's a big amphitheater out there in July, I think 7th and 8th. So he was telling me about it. And to his surprise, as well as mine, somehow I booked a round-trip flight to Seattle. And I'm going with Hammer to see the Deading Company for 2 days out in at the Gorge in the state of Washington. I've never actually been there, but, you know, I feel good about it. Doing something. Usually Rick's traveling to me or doing something else. I said, let's go. I'll go out to you, and I'll go to a concert.
Home and home.
Yeah, yes. I said, you know what? I've decided that that's going to be my last show. I'm not going to go to San Francisco. I said, that's going to be my last show. I'm kind of, you know, wondering who I'm going to get to go. And Jimmy goes, I'm coming. I said, all
nice.
Right.
Nice.
So
when is it?
It's July 6th, July 7th and 8th. We're staying in Wenatchee, which is right in the middle of the state. And the Gorge, if anyone's never been to the Gorge, you probably haven't. It's actually... they run a ton of Dave Matthews.
It's like Red Rock.
Is king of the Gorge. It's kind of like that. Look it up. The Gorge in the middle of nowhere. You literally have to take a shuttle there and back. And it's just like a cool spot. And I figured, you know what? That's going to be my last show. And Jim will be out there. And
I went to my first show with Rick, and I think it was his 100th. So he has me by quite a few. But going there and noticing the dates of the 7th and 8th, I'll be back in town for opening day at Saratoga.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we'll reconvene. When are you coming to Saratoga? I'll see you in Jersey first, right?
You'll see me. Yeah, I just made plans to go to the Haskell.
Very good.
So I'll be there definitely for the Haskell. And then Saratoga will definitely be for that week, like the 3rd through the 10th of August, unless I just decide to make a little run up after the Haskell for a couple of days. I could do that. How long have they been going in July and did the early Saratoga, the early opening? A couple of years?
Well,
no,
I mean, the 40, well, the 40, 36
I mean,
or the 40?
The
36
the long
or 40.
One, the long one.
The 40, it's now probably 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Don't forget, COVID was in between there, so it's a lost time.
Yeah. But I went in July, was it last year? Like late July, and it was kind of mellow. I enjoyed it. And then coming back for the intense part with around the Whitney and the sales, you know, it was much more intense. But I kind of enjoyed kicking back a little bit there in the early part of the meet with, I don't know, I enjoyed it. So I might do a double dip. And then got Del Mar in there. We got the plans. I get the.
I think we're coming for a.
You're gonna come for
yeah,
Del Mar?
Yeah, we'll come out for a.
Need some fish tacos. It's Del Mar. What else are you gonna eat?
Well, the funniest you. Have I done this with you with Shug?
No.
Oh, when if you get a couple of minutes between races tomorrow. Grab Shug and Allison and say to him, Shug, tell me about your lunch at the Brigantine. And just if you could record it, it will be, I guarantee you it's something you'll go back to for years to enjoy. It is priceless. The Shug at Brigantine.
All right, we'll do it.
It is
he'll get all animated on us. You'll love it. You'll love it. His fish taco experience.
I'm not a big fish taco guy, but I do like the Briggs. And that's when we're talking about the restaurant that overlooks Del Mar, and you can get there, if you get there by the 8th or 9th race, you can get a spot on the rail there and kind of make your bets and watch the last couple races there before the crowds file in.
Well, the problem with my fish taco scenario is I'm old enough and was working with Price Club to go to the Rubio's there at Marina Boulevard, which was the first and only Rubio's. And no one had ever, I mean, at least from my part of the world, I mean, fish taco was a revelation back then. And now it's kind of, you know, now it's kind of the filet of fish of Mexican seafood these days.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, it depends. You know. Yeah. Depends. It depends what the fish is. Apparently, right.
Right. The little.
But Rubio's. I think that's Gary's spot.
Is Gary a Rubio guy?
I think he's a Rubio.
No, he likes the two. Two that share the parking lot.
Yeah, I can't think of the name. No. Fidel's.
Fidel's and what's the other one? Oh, this is bad. Boy.
The Jack.
You got the wrong.
Tony's
guy.
Jackal.
Tony's Jackal. All right.
I think you're full of crap. I think that was a complete bluff.
He's bluffing. He's looking now.
Yeah.
We got to take the break. I got to get a picture of you two. I haven't put up a classic picture yet with the Belmont Park in the background. So I'm going to take a picture of you two over there for today's listing. You'll have it for posterity. Tony's Jackal. He pulled it right out of his ass. He didn't hit the all button.
Come to the races. It's a beautiful day. That's all I can say.
Good job. Jimmy? You got anything to plug? You're appearing anywhere?
We're not plugging. We're not appearing.
Comedy shop?
I'm trying to fly under the radar, which is always difficult for me.
June sale for I'll talk to your brother.
Yeah, Tommy has the sale coming up at
next
OBS,
week.
And
they've been breezing all week.
And I own a piece of a horse that we're going to be selling at Saratoga.
Oh, nice!
By Justify, so that'll be exciting.
And you're out of what mare?
Blossomed. I think we paid $350 for it as a weanling. So it was an expensive one.
Holy
and
cow.
We'll race it if we can't sell it.
Wow. So much for under the radar.
Good luck. Yeah, so much for under the radar.
No. We're going to get you out there. All right, let's head to the break. Jimmy Ventura and Hammer for the long running. Hold on. Here is Jay Hubdy is weighing in from Carlsbad. That's Tony's Jackal. And he called me a gringo. How about that? He called me gringo, Hammer. What, come on.
I don't know.
It's J-A-C-A-L.
And I can get that. It's always been, and I'm pretty good at the pronunciation.
It's like Jacinto.
It is.
Like Jacinto. J-A?
Okay, I'll go.